following contest is scheduled for one fall, and I meant to say podcast, but I did not. And in the interest of fairness and full disclosure with you guys, I want to tell you something. So at the end of Extreme Rules on Sunday, myself, Asa Gray, Ali Hebert, and for some reason Dalton Manch decided that this would be the end of Pro Wrestling Unscripted because we were so fed up with what we saw at the pay-per-view and everything that's been going on in the WWE. We decided we wanted to kill off our pet project. The one thing I said would always last beyond Podzilla 1985. We said we were going to kill it off, but then something happened. Literally, something happened in the world of wrestling, and now we want to talk about it. So at least for one more week, the show is saved. And in that good note, hey, Podzilla 1985 fans, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted, the soon, I mean, fading star of the...
the dying star.
Of the Podzilla 1985
network.
It's Shannon Young here with you, as always, with Asa Gray.
That's, yes.
Who already kind of made a noise earlier, but he's making it again. And Ali Hebert.
Hi.
One more thing I want to tell you about. If you noticed there was no Mr. 100 in the five-star man last night, that's because we are having some technical issues at the Podzilla 1985 network. Our power adapter for our soundboard is dead. We're waiting for a new one. So until then, we only have two mics, which I have one that I'm sharing with Ali, and then Asa Gray, of course, gets his own.
Because I'm the five-star man.
Because he's the five-star man. So if you hear Ali, whenever Ali butts in to talk, just know that she's literally pushing me out of the way to get to the microphone. She already pie-faced me once, and I know what's going to happen again.
It's true. Can confirm. Was here.
Glad we got that out of the way. Now that we got that out of the way, what are you in store for tonight? Well, we actually have a pretty big show for you. Like I said, there are things we want to talk about tonight. Just a couple of the things. SmackDown is going live. Rumors of a brand extension. We're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about Extreme Rules. And in our main event... We're going to talk about Cody Rhodes leaving WWE, because Asa, you have something you want to say on that for sure.
Lots.
And to a lesser extent, his wife, Brandy, who is, I thought, very underappreciated in their world. She didn't even get on the list for most beautiful people. Apparently you have to be a wrestler. Her quote, not mine. But that's later. That's later in the show. Main event means you have to stick around for the rest of the show first. And starting off, we're going to talk about Extreme Rules. It happened on Sunday. It was a good show with a lot of the same nonsense you would expect from WWE. The new era is the old era.
Now,
long live the old era.
When you say a lot of the same nonsense that you expect from WWE, I want to, because last week we did our predictions.
Yes.
I want to go on record as saying I got a 100%.
Well, you are Mr. One. No, you're not.
That's you. Because WWE and their booking and their planning is so predictable, I went... 8 for 8.
To be fair, I went 7 for 8, right?
Yeah.
And the only one I missed was the only match that all of us were kind of unsure about.
Right.
And that was the Intercontinental Championship match.
Yeah.
Because that one really could have gone anyway.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that they could do with it. I just knew that they were going to do the easy, obvious thing.
Plus, you wanted Miz to win.
That had literally nothing to do with it.
But you did want Miz to win.
I like the Miz. I would have rather had Cesaro win. But I'm happy that the Miz won. There was really no one in that match that I wouldn't have been happy if they had won.
Yeah, that was the one match on the card that no matter who won, we would have won.
Yeah.
The fans would have won. But that was the only match on the show that I got wrong. Mm-hmm. I think Ali got two wrong.
That one and then the Charlotte Natalia match.
She was really holding on to hope there.
Well, and it wasn't even that. She just assumed that Ric Flair would cause some sort of distraction, which he kind of did, but not to the point where it cost Charlotte the...
Because
match.
It wasn't Ric Flair.
Right.
It was actually...
Dana Brooke,
who I don't know why, but I wanted to say Emma Frost. Much rather it been Emma Frost than Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke distracted by dressing up as Ric Flair. She's...
Hit his music.
According to Ric Flair, she's Charlotte's Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Which I have a lot of problems with that statement, but we'll get to that in the Raw fallout. Overall, I thought the show was good. The last few WWE pay-per-views have all been technically sound. When it comes to the in-ring action, they're fantastic, and this was no different. It was really good in-ring action.
Yep.
All the matches were crisp, except for Jericho and Ambrose. That was 30 minutes of filler.
And I didn't even like... I mean, that was one that's when I was reading the Cody Rhodes tweet, which we'll get to more. So that took me completely out of not only the match, but the rest of the show.
Yeah, and he's not lying. I saw him looking at his phone during that match, and he had been not excited... But you had been into the rest of the show up to that point.
Yeah.
And then past that point, I saw the look on your face. You looked like you didn't care.
No, yeah, it literally drained any excitement I had for wrestling and WWE straight out of me.
Which is when we started kicking around the end of Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yeah.
Which is a legitimate thing. Like, we're not just saying
that. Yeah,
this
isn't a bit.
This isn't a joke. We legitimately are so fed up with what is happening
It's
WWE.
The same kind of, to me, it's, which we'll go more into this later on, but like, it's the same kind of when the show you and I did about after Battleground.
Yeah.
When Kevin Owens lost. And that was kind of my last straw for wanting to watch wrestling. And this is that just all over again, except now I'm not the only one. So I don't feel as bad saying I really don't want to do the show anymore because I don't want to be following WWE anymore.
And, you know, there have been a couple people that have said, well, I think Cody even suggested, why don't you watch, you know, Ring of Honor? Or people have been suggesting alternatives to watching
Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, NXT
even.
Yeah.
Which is true. There are great wrestling shows out there.
But none of them are as easy to
access.
Find.
Yeah.
And watch weekly.
And it's still WWE. You say what you will, but WWE is the top. They're the leader. You expect more from them.
Yeah.
It's like when I could go play a great indie title. Sure, I could, and they're probably very good. But when Fallout 4 comes out, I want to play Fallout 4 because it's the biggest, it's the baddest. And if it's god-awful, I'm going to be more upset about it than I would be a smaller group.
Right.
So when WWE does a terrible job and they make me feel like they don't care, then it really does influence my entire view of wrestling.
Yeah.
Because when you said you were done after Battleground, I wasn't standing my ground as in, well, no, it's great, you're wrong. I agreed with you, but I still had enough love in the product at the time that I thought, it'll get better. It'll get better. Just give it time. You remember me saying, well, yeah, Kevin Owens lost, but wait, it'll get better. Mm-hmm. It never got better.
No.
Hints of greatness wrapped in mediocrity and disappointment and the whole new era lie that they're pushing to you, which is a lie. Anyone 100%. That's listening to this show is a smart wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You don't believe that Roman Reigns is the best wrestler in the company. You don't believe that Stephanie McMahon is a real person.
Right.
And not a succubus that they have summoned.
Or that Shane McMahon is going to stay a good guy.
Yeah.
For the entire time.
So you know that you know what wrestling is.
Yeah.
So you know that we know, and we know that you know, and now you know.
Yes.
You know?
So Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. The main event was really the only thing of note to talk about in that. Obviously, Miz won and retained his championship.
Also, would like to throw out I'm guaranteed, because the reason that I picked Rusev for the United States Championship is I'm still and of the firm belief that he loses that championship to John Cena on Memorial Day this week.
And pre-Battleground Shannon would have told you, Asa, you're wrong. Surely, have some faith. But I'm not going to say that anymore. I hope you're wrong. But I don't doubt it.
It might be The Miz. Either way, I don't see John Cena leaving Monday without some sort of championship.
Especially since we now know who's going to face Roman Reigns at the next pay-per-view.
He might beat all three new members of the New Day and become his own tag team champion. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take a second to mention that of our predictions, John, and Big Johnny, I know you're listening. You went, what, half? 4-4? 4-8? Not the best record. I know you're trying to fill that spot Dalton left, and we appreciate it, but you can pick the winners. You don't have to do what Dalton would do and suggest stupid things. That's a joke, John. Allie almost spit out her drink. I now know that I went too far. So I'd like to pledge my allegiance to the nation of Big Johnny.
To the United States of Big Johnny.
Allie, I want you to explain why you thought Natalia was going to beat Charlotte when you know Natalia wasn't going to beat Charlotte. Plus, I just want to give her an excuse to pie face me so she can get to the mic again. Go for it.
Oh, my God.
She really is.
You moved over. I thought Natalia's going to win because they were already pushing the Charlotte trying to get away from her father, and that would have been a great way that he comes down to the ring, even though he knows he shouldn't, and cost her her championship.
And that hold on. And that would have made sense, but you're talking about WWE logic, so, you know. Always go, never go with what you think should happen logically. Never, when it comes to WWE, never go with what makes sense. Go with what you know makes sense to them, because they're two different things completely. What do you think the best thing on the show was, Asa? Like, was there anything on the show
nothing was
you
bad.
Found redeeming the- that made you say, you know what, I'll give them a little more time before I completely throw away my Kool-Aid?
Rusev looking like an absolute monster.
He did.
Was amazing, and that was probably my favorite part of the show. Xavier Woods got a pin as well after the Shining Wizard.
And back to the Rusev thing for a second. The accolade that he put on to win was brutal.
Because it was a follow-up after a really gross, like, Kalisto was on the top rope and he threw him down onto the apron, which is already the hardest part of the ring, but it was the LED side, so there's no way it's not even harder.
Right.
And they were doing the whole, like, is he hurt? Is he hurt? The announcers were saying something like, oh, he hasn't moved his legs yet.
It almost looked like they were going to get DQ ending, that Rusev was going to lose because he wouldn't stop attacking.
Yeah, but then Rusev just grabs him in the middle of the ring, stomps on his back, and
By the way, if this is the second time in two pay-per-views that a referee has been so awful at his job, and you know there's not going to be any follow-up on it, but last pay-per-view, what was it? Payback, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Charles Robinson declared Charlotte the winner, even though Natalya didn't tap.
Right.
And there was no follow-up to it other than, did you? No? Cool.
That throwaway little segment.
Right.
The next night.
So now you have, on this pay-per-view, Kalisto, who apparently was so injured that the referee kept pushing Rusev away to check on him.
Mm-hmm.
When Rusev did not stop attacking, instead of disqualifying him, which he should have done, he just counted the tap out and said, okay, you win, I guess.
Yeah.
I know wrestling's fake. Again, if you're listening to the show, you know wrestling's fake. But even in a fake world, that's just bad
logic. The rule set within that fictional universe should be constant.
Not every referee can be Deadpool.
Throw way back to us talking about Star Wars Episode 7, like the part where they use the hyperdrive, but it's like it contradicts the rules that were already set in place in that universe.
Yeah.
It's like, no, don't do that.
Their belief,
because the way I thought it was honestly going to go was that he was going to stop the match and award it to Rusev. Because he's too hurt to continue, like they did with Owens and Sami Zayn. In NXT. But I really like the ending. You're right. Like, the referee should have, if he was that hurt, then that match shouldn't have continued the way it did. But it did a good job of making Rusev look like an unstoppable monster. So there's no way that someone could just, like, swoop in and beat him. It would take some sort of superhero.
If the referee, I'm trying to get off this. He's boiling. His face is turning redder. If the referee was actually doing his job and Rusev did, you know, refused to obey his rules,
right,
the very least they could have done was show some kind of fear on the referee's face when Rusev kept going. Like, if the referee had been played off to be afraid of Rusev and that's why he kept doing it, I could believe that. But when the referee just keeps pushing him back saying no, and then Rusev keeps going yes, and there's nothing that comes from that.
Yeah.
Again, just bad storytelling. That's WWE. It's like the writers are too busy hitting on developmental divas to care about what's happening. Did you like that? That's a hint.
I did.
Okay.
I get it.
New Day retain, which you knew they would.
Yep.
Kofi is apparently going to take some more time off soon. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they put Xavier in that match, because I think they're going to kind of build toward Xavier and Big E
having
teaming
more
together.
Of a...
Yeah. And it was a good match. I love the Vaudevillains.
Vaudevillains are great. They did a great job.
More. Yeah.
Everyone did.
Jericho and Ambrose was hot garbage, as Lindsay would say.
I wouldn't agree with that, but...
Except for the ending.
The ending was disgusting.
The ending was disgusting, and it's the kind of hardcore stuff that you don't expect to see on WWE TV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd again see the day where a guy got body slammed on the thumbtacks.
And it's, you know, a match full of no headshots with any of the weapons.
Yeah.
Followed up with, the announcers were playing up as the bucket was just like a joke object, but then the thumbtacks were inside of it.
Which is, it makes sense, and it's a great visual for the audio podcast. Jericho taking the dive onto the thumbtacks, because you can't get a concussion from thumbtacks.
No.
But I think it would have been something like, watch, the thumbtacks were actually infected with Ebola or Zika.
They got them from Abdullah, so they got the hepatitis.
Oh, I wasn't going to go that far.
Don't be offended by me making fun of Abdullah. That dude is a piece of human garbage.
I heard he makes great ribs.
I wouldn't eat them.
Also infected with hepatitis. I can't think of anything else happened on the show other than Natalya lost to Charlotte for reasons we explained.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go into more of that later because that ties into our fallout from Raw. And
Corbin beat Ziggler. We knew he would. The club beat the Usos. So now they are 4-for-4.
I absolutely hate what they've done with the quote unquote club. I also hate the term the club.
We'll get that'll be a Raw thing too.
That'll be a Raw thing. Another... And of course, the big news is, and this is what I wanted to talk about for our Extreme Rules reaction, is AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. I really liked that main event, and I think AJ Styles
it was a
and
really
Roman
good
Reigns,
match.
They have great chemistry.
They
too.
Really do.
They do. They could. I know people say, "Oh, well, this is a, who was it? Daniel Bryan and." God, I don't remember now.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Just the great rivalries, like Cena and Punk. I think Cena and Punk was one of the best rivalries ever because they both held their own. They were very different sides of the spectrum when it comes to like fan support and all that. Macho Man versus Hogan. I mean, you can go back through time and just think of these great rivalries.
Right.
And I think AJ Styles and Roman Reigns has potential because every time I've seen them in the ring together, it's been better and better.
Yeah.
This match was hard-hitting. It was fast-paced. Everyone looked believable. And if it had ended differently, I think that could have been a great match. But it didn't end differently. Here's how it ended. If you didn't watch the pay-per-view, the club, the Boys Club of America, they come out, they hit the magic boot, or what is it called?
The magic killer.
The boot of doom.
Boot of doom, yeah.
They hit the boot of doom on Roman Reigns, just like they did at Payback. And just like they did at Payback, they left the ring, hoping that it would work, because it worked so well the first time. And it's a no DQ match. They literally could have sat in there with AJ Styles holding Roman Reigns down while he pinned him. But instead they leave.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Roman Reigns kicks out. They go through the same ending they did for Payback with the big cluster.
To be fair, they do it a little bit differently because the Usos actively attack AJ Styles, which they didn't do at Payback.
And that was a good segment because if you were upset that Roman Reigns kicked out of the Boot of Doom, and you thought, oh, man, that buries the club. That's their finisher. He just kicked out of it. Then how do you feel about the Usos? They both hit super kicks, and then he did the flying Uso off the top rope.
Right.
AJ Styles kicked out of all of that.
Right.
So give it credit.
And
when I say give it credit in destroying the believability of an entire tag team.
Right. That's the thing that's always bugged me, like even as a kid watching wrestling, the idea that a tag team is lesser than one megastar.
Yeah.
Like, no, it should be. They're good singles wrestlers who work as a team, so they're even more effective.
Tag teams should always be more. Anytime you see like John Cena versus a tag team, or Randy Orton versus
or John
the tag
Cena
team.
And Randy Orton versus the entire locker room,
So
the ending of the match was to speed it along. Roman Reigns takes the tag team finisher. He then takes a Styles Clash. He then takes a second Styles Clash onto a steel chair. He then takes about 5 to 10 chair shots.
Which, by the way, while he's doing that, AJ Styles, in the most fire I've seen from him so far, when he grabbed that chair, he took it to both Usos and Roman Reigns over and over again.
Oh, yeah,
in succession.
It was like a minute-long bit of him just wailing on all three of them.
With chairs.
With a chair.
And it looked incredible. That should have been the AJ Styles moment. He should have pinned Roman Reigns, won the title, and then everybody went, holy shit, that guy is badass. But that's not what happened.
No. Instead, AJ went for the flying forearm again, got hit with a spear, 1, 2, 3.
And I know you're thinking, so he got hit with one finisher after doling out all that punishment and loss? Yes, but you have to remember that when Roman Reigns hits you with a spear, it's like being hit by a mega collider.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but it sounded hard.
And to be fair, it was a crazy match. Like, AJ got thrown onto the pre-show panel table, that plexiglass table. He did get hit with a spear early in the match. He did take the Uso super kicks and the splash. So it's not like it came out of nowhere.
No.
It's not like AJ was dominating the entire match and then lost the one move. It does really feel like John Cena getting DDT'd onto concrete and then immediately beating Justin Gabriel and Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
In that Nexus match. That's what it feels like to me. And that's why it's just like you guys got, or Dalton did for sure, got like real excited when AJ went for the pin after the Styles Clash on the chair. And I'm just like, why? You know what's going to happen. And then it did. And Roman Reigns wins because that's who Vince wants as the guy.
That's the new, every time they say new era, what they mean is Roman Reigns is our champion.
Right. It's no longer Law Cena wins.
Yeah, it's Law Roman wins. And now that Cena's coming back.
Law Cena wins the mid-card.
Law Cena wins Raw, or Law Cena wins SmackDown, Law Reigns wins Raw. We could possibly see John Cena and Roman Reigns at the champion at the same time dominating both rosters. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Hell, we won't.
Well, AJ Styles loses, and that was the depressing moment of the show. If AJ Styles had won, I would have taken back so many things I've said about WWE writing.
Oh, I would have too.
But it didn't happen.
No.
Instead, we move on to Raw, and
well,
that's what we're going to do.
That's not true. Something else happened.
Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Well, which...
Allie, go ahead and tell him how excited you are about Seth Rollins. Tell him why you're excited. What's your turtle's name?
Seth Rollins. He's Mr. Money in the Tank.
Mr. Money in the Tank.
Which, he came back at Extreme Rules, hit a pedigree on Roman Reigns to a crazy ovation.
Roar.
Roar of applause and cheers.
Held up the title.
Held up the championship. Like, he's clearly coming, you know, rebuild, redesign, reclaim. And then on Raw, he comes out to a hero's welcome. Could be the biggest face in the company. Oh, wait. We can't have that. Roman's the biggest face of the company.
Clearly, because...
he's the most favorite.
I don't know if you heard, but the line... I think JBL said that whether you love him or hate him, you're passionate about Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the chat. Apparently, that was specifically written by Vince McMahon.
Of course it was.
To put over Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns will be the champion, and you will love him whether you like it or not. Do you remember... Vince McMahon on, I think it was the first podcast with Stone Cold, when he said that he's a great listener and
yeah,
he listens to
the
crowd.
He loves listening to the fans.
Dalton, if you're at work playing this, pause it. Bullshit. Like, I never once believed that they listened to the fans, except
no.
for maybe once with Stone Cold.
And Daniel Bryan.
And The Rock. There are three mm-hmm. times in history where somebody was so popular despite what they planned
mm-hmm.
that they changed the booking to suit that.
Right.
They will not do that again.
No. His ego will not allow it.
No. Roman Reigns will be your champion. You will consider him the biggest face in the company or else.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't matter.
There was a poll on WWE.com a couple days ago that was, do you respect, has Roman Reigns earned your respect? And the options were something along the lines of, yes, I wasn't on board at the beginning, but he's earned my respect. Yes, I've always had it. Or no, Roman might be the guy, but he's got a long way to go. It's like, even in the no option, you have to admit that he's still the guy. He's still number one.
Which, let's move over to Raw, and we're not going to go in order on this because we're not going to cover the entire show.
No.
Just the important parts, we thought. I want to skip to AJ Styles immediately because I've talked a lot about AJ Styles in the past couple of weeks. And I have never liked AJ Styles. I want to put that out there right now.
Really?
When he was in TNA, I thought he was good, but I did not see what everyone saw in him. I'm not going to lie. I remember when I said I
you
was
were
wrong
also,
about Daniel
I was
going to
say, you're also wrong about Daniel Bryan.
And I'm saying that now. Mm. I was wrong about Daniel Bryan. I was wrong about AJ Styles. The moment he came into WWE at the Royal Rumble, if you could see it.
Oh, no. Do you mean the close-up of Roman's face?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about him and the crowd, the music, the way he moves, the way he pulls his hood back.
Right.
There's something about him that screams star. They had the potential to make a huge, huge name. But did you know that he used to work for TNA?
Mm-hmm.
So does Vince.
Yeah.
And that's why you will never see AJ Styles be anything more than a
that
upper
was his,
mid-carder.
That was his main event. He might get the Consolation Championship after the brand split, but maybe.
And what did AJ Styles do on Raw? He came out, he cut a very strange promo blaming the Bullet Club. I'm sorry.
You jumped ahead.
Was there something before that?
Did I
miss a part?
Yeah, the part before that was that how Roman Reigns is one of the all-time greats. He's one of the best he's ever been in the ring
with. Was that before all that?
Yeah,
okay,
because
that's
how he started that promo.
And that's what I was trying to get at. I was mixing up my time periods mm-hmm. there. But yeah, he came out and the first thing he said is, and this is the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. It's like Heyman. Whenever Roman was going up against Lesnar, and he just went through the list of legends that Roman Reigns could have beaten. I'm surprised he didn't just take off the gloves and be like, no, Roman, you're the phenomenal one now.
he rips off the tattoo and just sticks it on him. But yeah, he said that Roman Reigns is just as tough as everyone says he is. He is the guy. He immediately puts over Roman Reigns as a monster, which, do you remember later in the show when Roman came out and put over AJ?
Hmm?
Exactly.
I didn't see that part.
You must have missed it.
Yeah.
I have it on Devo, DVR, TiVo.
Devo! Play some Devo on the fix.
I think my favorite part of it is when AJ said that, yeah, Roman Reigns beat me. Yeah, he's the guy. Yeah, he's one of the best I've ever faced, but he's not phenomenal. He said that. He said that. Here's my problem with that. AJ Styles has won, I think, 3 matches in his entire WWE career, singles-wise. And I'm pretty sure it was just against Chris Jericho. He beat Jericho twice, I think, maybe?
No, didn't
they? They traded victories back and forth.
Yeah.
Because they had a series of 12. And the blow off match for that, by the way,
Jericho won.
WrestleMania, where Jericho beat him. Jericho also beat Neville at the NXT show in Japan. Jericho also beat Apollo Crews on Raw.
Yeah.
I know it's not Chris Jericho's fault.
This is when he did listen to the fans. Because all the fans were like, oh, Jericho just comes in to lose. This'll show him.
It's not Jericho's fault. It's not like he books his own matches.
No.
But that someone out there.
And honestly, a loss to Chris Jericho, I don't think does anything negative.
No, except in AJ Styles' case, because what did they follow it up with?
Yeah.
He won the four-person match to qualify for the number one contender, then proceeded to lose to Roman Reigns every time in singles matches.
Yeah.
So then on Raw, again, we're skipping back and forth. They're doing the Money in the Bank qualifying matches, and I'm trying to remember exactly who won those. Cesaro beat Miz.
Yep.
Sami Zayn beat Sheamus.
Yep.
Ambrose beat Ziggler. Yeah, that's it.
And the one I remember most is that Kevin Owens beats AJ Styles clean
as a whistle.
If there's writing on the wall at this point, you gotta see it. Kevin Owens, and take nothing away from Kevin Owens, he's clearly one of the best.
Right.
And that's not sarcasm. He's a fantastic talent. He can do things in that ring that people half his size can't do. You're gonna hear that a lot, but it's true. And then he beat AJ Styles, their main eventer, their possible world champion. He beat him clean. No help from the Bullet Club. No distractions. Not even a roll-up. He got pinned clean after the pop-up powerbomb.
Yep.
This is what happens when I attach myself to a wrestler. Whenever I like them, it's the Shannon curse. Ask Zack Ryder. Never... Let me be a fan of yours.
Yeah, if you see him at an Outback, ask Zack Ryder.
Oh, if you see him at the Costco, ask him.
That was a tweet he sent out either on Sunday or Monday about how The Miz is reclaiming the Intercontinental Championship and I'm eating at Outback. It's like, oh, buddy.
At least he's not working there yet. So yeah, I don't know. I could bitch about this all day.
Well,
the poor, absolute shoddy treatment of AJ Styles, who is a legit globe-spanning champion
that they
couldn't give two shits about in the WWE.
You have to assume he lost to Kevin Owens because he won't be in the Money in the Bank match, which he absolutely should be because AJ Styles in a Money in the Bank match, yes, please.
It sounds phenomenal.
It really does. But you have to assume, of course, but maybe not. Maybe they'll just take him off TV because they don't have anything else for him.
Did you see SmackDown?
No.
On SmackDown, there was a backstage segment where they asked him what's next for AJ Styles, and he just said, I don't know, and walked off.
I love a good losing streak angle. How
can you do a losing streak angle when you've only been in the company for like 3 months?
Yeah, and that's the same, and that's the thing with him blaming the club for him losing. Which he did.
He
said the only reason he lost was the club.
Because they interfered.
Which is ridiculous. And so they're not friends anymore. They're not brothers anymore. Whatever. Stupid. But it's rushed.
Yeah.
Just the knowledge that they were a team in Japan is not enough to carry the same weight that an actual breakup between these three guys should feel.
It's like when they brought the NWO back and they rushed it along as in, well, you already know the NWO. You know their story. They had a story. We can rush through their entire breakup in the span of like 3 months. But you can't do that. You can't rely on what happened in the past to write your storylines now. You can't just say, we tore it up in Japan and then break them up after a month and a half of being together. It's ridiculous. And if this is an angle, like we thought maybe it was, where you notice they didn't fight, no one exchanged blows. So maybe it's an angle where they're setting something up for AJ and the club to get one over on somebody. Who did they get one over on? They already lost to Roman Reigns multiple times. There's nothing there.
They traded wins with the Usos.
There's already nothing for them to do. The only thing they can do is chase the tag team titles now with the New Day.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do with the club now? You had a hot thing, and Vince McMahon decided to put that fire out, and he pissed all over it.
Yep.
Last PWU. Also on Raw, we don't want to spend all the time talking about that. They did have the Money in the Bank tournament. It's going to be a great match. So far, they've got, like we said, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, The Miz is in it, I believe. No, Miz isn't in it yet. Zayn, Cesaro, Owens, Del Rio just qualified on SmackDown.
Did he?
Yeah. He beat someone. I don't care. It was probably AJ Styles.
Again.
They just decided to give AJ Styles another shot at it and have him lose. That's going to take place at Money in the Bank to decide the next person to lose to Roman after Seth Rollins does. So I'm excited about that. We'll keep you updated. The big story on Raw, other than that, though, is the big return of...
Enzo Amore.
Thank you. She earns her pay.
She's looking. I get paid?
Well, half of what we make. Oh. It took me a while to think of that obvious joke. Enzo Amore returned on Raw to help Big Cass embarrass the Dudleys again. Because Cass needed so much help doing it before. I don't remember what it was. I think it was Cass versus Bubba in a singles match.
Yeah.
With Enzo on the outside and D-Von on the outside.
Which I was very confused because when they came out, the nameplate said Dudley Boys. So I thought it was a tag match that was happening.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't, because I even asked, I was like, why isn't Enzo on the apron? Why is he just like running around outside? This isn't...
He may not be cleared
and
yet.
And then it was a single. Yeah, then that's...
Not entirely sure.
Yeah.
But it was a singles match, and as badly as they're treating AJ Styles, they're treating the Dudleys even worse.
Which, again, like, a loss... I disagree with that, because the Dudleys don't need the legitimacy of beating a team that has that themselves needs to be established. Like, you don't need... Like, the Enzo and Cass are more needing of a win over a veteran tag team
than... Well, that's
than,
true. But do you not question the logistics of the way they did it? If it was just that they were fighting and they were feuding and then Enzo and Cass won, I have no problem with that. But it's the fact that Enzo and Cass embarrassed them as a team, and then when Enzo got hurt, Big Cass embarrassed them week by week as a singles competitor, and then now embarrassing them again. At some point, you have to let the Dudleys win something. You can't have them get destroyed and embarrassed every single week and expect people to care.
I don't know. I don't quite see it as that bad. Just because there hasn't been like a... Cass hasn't beaten them 2-on-1 by himself yet. Like, he's overpowered them. But that was just like a brief little skirmish at Extreme Rules, for example.
And it ends the same way and every like, time.
Yeah.
That he leaves, it calls him soft, and walks out. And thank God Enzo is back, so we don't have to listen to Cass cut entire promos on his own anymore.
Yeah. As the secondary, he's great. But, yeah, him carrying a promo on his own is a little...
There's a reason they let Shawn Michaels talk and not Diesel back then.
Yeah.
Diesel was the muscle. Shawn was the voice.
Yeah.
Same thing here. Enzo was a fantastic talker. Mm-hmm. Big Cass is a big Cass.
Can't teach that.
You can't teach size.
No.
Not in that sense.
And the other, there were two other things that I don't know if you already have listed for Raw that happened that were newsworthy.
The only other things I have is Charlotte and Rick, which we're going to talk about here in a second, and Rollins.
Okay, yeah.
Were those the two things?
Yeah. Because
cool.
The way you went into talking about Enzo and Cass, I thought that was the last thing you were wanting to talk about.
No.
I was like, wait a minute.
No, got a couple things here. There was a big segment on Raw featuring Charlotte and Ric Flair.
Long segment.
And I thought it was head and shoulders above everything else they've done with Charlotte.
Way
so
better
far.
Than the contract signing.
Way better than Nikki Bella and Brie Bella.
Oh, my...
Because when Nikki, I said this before to you personally, because you had a huge problem with that, and so did I.
You mean how Bella A said, I wish you would have died in the womb, and then
B.
3 weeks later, they're just friends again because, you. Just, that's why.
That's the big problem, is you see the Bellas, and I've defended the Bellas because I don't think they deserve as much hate as they get. You have to remember, when you watch wrestling, a lot of what you see is written for them. So they can only do the best with what they've got. And that's true. That's just a general statement.
You know who did great at that?
Who?
Cody Rhodes.
We'll get to that.
Itchy.
He's really itching over there.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned.
It's the eczema.
When Charlotte tore into Rick and talked about their past, made absolutely valid points about Ric Flair.
Right.
Saying, for 30 years I had to watch you on TV.
I remember the Christmases and Thanksgivings and birthdays.
And she delivered it with real emotion, too, like a real fire. Mm-hmm. When she told the crowd to shut up the way – and, of course, they did the what chance.
They did the what chance, and I think she handled it pretty well.
She did.
She called them out on it, and then she – but not only – so she played into it a little bit, but then after letting them do it like one or two times more, she changed the way that she spoke to where they didn't have the opening anymore.
And, by the way, if you're a wrestling fan that does the what chance, shoot yourself. Kill yourself, like Ric Flair would say. Don't go quite that far. just stop doing it because they're extremely annoying. You agree with that, don't you?
Oh yeah, the what chant is
the worst. The worst. Absolute worst chant.
It's almost as bad as We Are Awesome.
Oh God. You know what Hunter said was the most embarrassing part of being a wrestling fan?
The wrestling fans?
The wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Charlotte tore Rick apart, basically called him a terrible father, which he probably was, and then booted him. Ric Flair put those great crocodile tears of his to work.
I'm wondering if Rick was sober enough to realize that he was in a segment.
I wonder.
Or if he just thought that, like, this was actually happening.
I wonder if Rick was told this was going to happen, or they just said, hey, Nature, head on out there with your daughter. She's going to cut a great promo.
Call Dana Brooke Arn Anderson.
And, yeah, so he calls Dana Brooke Arn Anderson. And, one, I don't even find Dana Brooke as attractive as Arn Anderson. That's a sexy man. Look up Arn Anderson circa 1988.
He was backstage.
He was the brain buster. He blew my mind, is all I'll say. I don't think Dana Brooke has the technical prowess either to be an Arn Anderson, but whatever.
But that's not even a fair comparison. Arn Anderson, who wrestled for 90 years, and someone who's been on NXT for like 6 months,
and is
now called up to the main roster. Like, you cannot...
Call me crazy. But I think in 20 years, no one will look back at Dana Brooke with the reverence that they look at Arn Anderson. Call me crazy. That's just a prediction. I would almost wager that Dana Brooke will be out of WWE within the next 5 years, and no one will remember. But that's just me. That's just me. It's a different era. It's a new era. It's a new day.
No.
So Charlotte tears apart Ric Flair, kicks him out, and they said they were going to have a state of the dress for the Women's Championship. They didn't. It was just a segment to get rid of Ric Flair. It was an effective segment.
Mm-hmm.
It was well written. It had real emotion. It had a point. That's good TV. To me.
Huh. Actual characters having actual motivations for the things that they say or do.
Charlotte finally
has
a character.
That's the weirdest thing.
Although, based in reality.
But I will say, like, the only problem that I had with the segment, and it's not even that big of one, was just that it seemed so out of nowhere.
That she just had no problem and then suddenly
just
full
immediately.
On.
Like, if the Dana Brooke thing hadn't happened, I think it would make more sense to me.
If she could have beat her on her own.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, and maybe it's because I just didn't hear that part of the segment. But did they say whose idea it was to bring Dana Brooke in? Was that Rick's idea or was that Charlotte's idea?
I don't remember them saying anything about it, but it did seem like she was all happy that Dana Brooke was there,
mm-hmm.
but she hated her father. And she was so angry with Rick saying, I don't need you. But Dana Brooke is the one that helped her win.
Yeah. Well, then that's why it's like, so I don't know if Charlotte is the one who had the idea to bring in Dana Brooke, then that's great. Then, yeah, okay, she actually doesn't need Rick anymore. Otherwise, I would say, like, she shouldn't have had any sort of interference. She should have beaten Natalya clean. Then, if that way, she's like, oh, I actually don't need you.
The only thing I remember about that is that both, maybe it was Rick and Charlotte, but Charlotte definitely saying, Dana, you made the right choice. So whether that means that she did it on her own to mm-hmm. help, to be a part of it, or
right.
they invited her to do it, I don't know. They didn't really say.
And the reason that they're doing this is because Dana Brooke was brought up to be Emma's bodyguard.
Right.
But Emma being out with the back injury, she did have her successful surgery.
Which, man, think about this. Okay, so basically they brought Emma up to replace Naomi, who was hurt.
No.
And then they brought Emma or Dana Brooke up basically to fill that void that Naomi / Tamina had
mm-hmm.
of small girl, big girl. Then Emma gets hurt.
Yeah.
So everybody's getting hurt. Dana Brooke is the only one left standing. That's a storyline that just wrote itself. New women's champion.
I don't know.
It was an effective segment.
It was really good.
The worst part about it is that now you know that this is just the beginning of them pushing Dana Brooke down our throats, which will happen.
I'm sure it will. It's fine, though, because it's the women's championship, and they have yet to have just a compelling... There hasn't been a dominant, like, oh, I'm so sick of her women's champion in a while. Like, even Nikki Bella, at her worst, was...
Half-deece. I think the last terrible women's champion was... God, I'd really have to go back in my brain to get this one.
Kelly.
Was she ever champion?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
I think so. Candice Michelle.
She was a stripper. I like Candice Michelle.
Kay. Ashley.
Ashley
was terrible.
Yeah. I know a couple guys that really liked Ashley. They also really liked garbage. Hot garbage. Second time I've said that today.
He don't even say it like Xavier Woods does.
Does he say it?
Hot garbage.
Of course he'd say it better.
Does.
I don't even know why I tried. Last thing we're going to talk about Raw. Seth Rollins came back. Now, yeah, go ahead and explain this one to
okay,
me.
Okay, so.
I'll be over here in my bubble.
Here's the deal. Your safety bubble.
My bubble from Ace and Ray.
I won't throw things. So Seth Rollins comes in to a hero's welcome because he is the returning hero. He laid out Roman Reigns, which, yes, is a heel thing to do, technically, but not if you ask anyone in the audience.
Plus, he mentioned it, and it's a good reason, Seth Rollins never lost the title.
No.
It was taken from him
because he was injured.
Right.
So
Roman Reigns is an imposter.
From having to carry. Yeah. He's a paper champion. Yeah. Temporary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Seth Rollins comes in. He wants his championship back because, of course, he does. And then he turns on the crowd. And, like, he makes valid points about how they called him the worst champion ever. He couldn't do anything on his own and how he proved them all wrong. And like, it was overall, it was a really good promo. And I like Seth Rollins so much, but no. And then Roman Reigns comes out to confront him and Rollins like challenges him, welcomes him into the ring. Roman Reigns gets on the apron and Seth Rollins rolls out because he's back to being the chicken shit heel.
No. Mind games. Mind games. That is the problem with the WWE product today. Do you remember when Triple H got injured and was out for...
As a bad guy.
He came back as a face because the fans wanted to see him.
Right.
And they embraced
him. And they were showing those vignettes of him rehabbing his leg.
Yes.
And
they made it seem like important. When he came back, they cheered him and they ran with it. Triple H became a face.
Yep.
Seth Rollins comes back to a monstrous reaction.
Absolutely. And if they would have done... Like, I really wanted them to just completely... Because the idea of Seth Rollins trying to imitate and pay such tribute to his mentor, Triple H, is a great story. So him mirroring the return of showing those vignettes, like of Seth Rollins rehabbing his knee, and then him coming out to a monster face return, would have been great. But no.
Let's go the easy path.
Let's just feed him to Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And that's...
Because if you think Seth Rollins is going to beat Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship, I have a large tract of land I would like to sell you.
A lot of people said, well, you know, it makes sense for Rollins to stay heel, to go against Reigns. Just because he got cheered doesn't mean he's a face. Yes, it does. Because the people's perception is what makes you what you are.
Right.
In entertainment, if they think you're a bad guy, you're a bad guy.
He can still keep a lot of his same attitude and thought process, but it's the way that you present it that he could still be a face. And want revenge on Roman Reigns.
Or, you know, why not just simplify it? Why does there have to be a face? Why does there have to be a heel?
Right.
Why can't you just say, here's Roman Reigns, the kick-ass champion. Mm-hmm. Here's Seth Rollins, the guy that never lost the title. They used to be best friends. One betrayed the other. Now he feels betrayed. Let him fight. Fantastic battle. You don't have to portray either of them as the babyface or the heel.
As a role that neither of which are going to fit into.
No, because Roman Reigns will never be cheered, and Seth Rollins will not be booed.
Against Roman Reigns.
In general, and especially against Roman
Reigns.
If
you told me it was going to be like Seth Rollins, like if AJ Styles had won that match, and then Seth Rollins immediately attacked him,
yeah,
Seth Rollins would be booed out of the building.
Yeah.
He could be the big heel that you want him to be, but he won't be against Roman Reigns.
The only person that will ever get booed against Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns.
John Cena.
Nope.
I think Cena will still get booed regardless.
I disagree with that.
You think he would be cheered against
because
Reigns?
John Cena, with the goodwill that he has generated in the last like 3 years of just his incredible matches in that United States Championship Open, like no, like people would rather have John Cena than Roman Reigns. They would more than likely they would rather have AJ Styles or Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But when given the option of AJ Styles or Roman Reigns, or Roman Reigns or John Cena, they're gonna pick Cena.
And that's your main event for Money in the Bank. Roman mm-hmm. Reigns versus Seth Rollins. Let's take an angle that they could have drug out for months and done possibly one of the big SummerSlam, something like that. Could have made the main event.
That's why I have to assume Ambrose wins Money in the Bank, and they do the Shield triple threaded.
That we should have got at WrestleMania a year ago. We'll stay tuned.
So Roman Reigns can win that.
Moving on. Sasha Banks is out indefinitely due to an injury. Someone said that she got kneed in the head by a referee. Is that true?
That's what I'd read. Whether or not it's true or not.
Because I want the referee's name, and I'm going to go track him down. You don't touch
him.
The boss.
No. But yeah, so
she's got a powerful family.
That's apparently and put in jeopardy their SummerSlam plans for the...
Which was supposed to be Charlotte versus...
Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks. And it was supposed to be the first big, epic women's title. Because as much as I love Natalya, and as much as I wanted her to win, none of us thought she was going to win. I just pointed at Allie. So none of us were stupid enough to think that Charlotte was going to lose to Natalya. None of us were that inexperienced with the... Okay, I got pie-faced again. Moving on. So Sasha Banks' injury could put this at jeopardy. I think they're still doing tests on her to find out how severe it is.
And honestly, I still think you could have that huge... If they wanted to put in the effort, they could absolutely still have that huge main event feel to a women's match if they did it with Becky Lynch.
Who was obliterated by Dana Brooke on SmackDown about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
You see? Who else do they have to put against Charlotte at this point?
Paige.
Why? Why even bother? Like, poor Paige. I'm not the biggest Paige fan, but so much mistreatment there. So much mistreatment. Again, taking what could have been a hot thing and just buried it.
Yeah.
She was the big cat. Everyone talks about how great the women's revolution was, the Divas revolution.
Yeah.
Paige was one of the biggest casualties of that.
Yeah.
Because here was somebody that came from that same group of NXT women who came up first, did what she could with what she was given.
Right.
And then got buried when the revolution, quote unquote.
Well, and it's
happened.
One of those things where she came in too early where it's like, oh, we're actually going to treat the women wrestlers as wrestlers.
Not
instead
as divas.
Of divas yeah. and, you know, just bitches who despise each other. They don't need character alignments or developments or consistency.
Because they're women.
So they basically, they did the frenemy thing with AJ, which could have been a lot worse, but it wasn't great. And
I think part of the reason it wasn't great, I truly believe, was because of CM Punk leaving and then AJ leaving after that, not too long.
Oh, if they had known she wasn't like on her way out?
Yeah, if she had stayed longer, I think that could have gone further and been better.
Yeah.
But because she was leaving, I think they wrote
screw
it poorly.
It and,
yeah.
So yeah, and it's one of those things where she kind of suffered from the this week she's a face, this week she's a heel, this week she's a face, this week she's a heel.
The Big Show syndrome.
Yeah. So they and it's I still am holding out hope that maybe well no I'm not because it's Vince and
no hope.
They're that you know she could come in as be you know that could be a huge you know Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks if she wins it like a great heel page as. No, I paved the only reason you're here is because of me.
This
is
my
I'm
house.
The one that paved the it is her house.
That's what she says.
It is.
She screams it.
A lot. So I mean that's a story that's, you know, it's logical. It makes sense that
here is my fear, and I don't think this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Nikki Bella is close. They're talking about when she'll come back. And I don't know if she's coming back or when. I don't know if they've made that announcement, but what if they held on long enough to have Nikki Bella come back and beat Charlotte?
I smell toast and then
I hit him with the flashy thing. Did you put your glasses on when I flashy thinged him?
So are we going to talk about Raw tonight or?
I think WWE is giving it to us Raw. Yeah, you get what I'm saying there. You said Emma's surgery was successful.
Yeah, she
another injury
because we were looking up for updates on that last week. But it was literally like Wednesday
but
that
still,
she.
No idea when she's coming back.
Yeah, they don't have a time frame yet.
Okay.
Or one that I've seen anyway.
NXT TakeOver, I'm skipping over a little bit. We watched NXT tonight, and it was a good show, as it often was. No Way Jose continues to make me smile. Not
and
necessarily
I
that
I
like
it.
Him,
that's something,
but he makes me smile.
That's something that I don't understand. Like, I really like No Way Jose. Like, he's really fun to watch. But why? Why is that so much fun? Why am I enjoy? There's no reason I should enjoy this as much as I do.
It's almost like his enthusiasm for the character
carries over completely.
Carries over completely. Like he has that, kind of like that Daniel Bryan thing. When Daniel Bryan would smile, he just, like, he makes you giddy. When Daniel Bryan is happy, you're happy.
It's the opposite of Brodus Clay. Like Brodus Clay, it's like, hey, you're getting this fun dancing guy gimmick. And it never, like, nothing about it seemed genuine.
It didn't make sense.
Whereas I'm not 100% sure that No Way Jose isn't just like that everywhere.
I'm not entirely sure his name isn't legitimately No Way Jose.
He just, like, hears that music in his head all the time, and, like, he's at the airport. He's just dancing.
Just dancing around.
He's cooking at home. He's just dancing. Like,
what a fun guy.
Yeah.
I don't expect to see him ever go anywhere.
And him beating a evil clone of Neville.
The orc. I said if Neville was an elf, the version of tonight was like his orc version.
Yeah.
Because he's a little bigger, but just as small at the same time. They also announced Nakamura versus Austin Aries.
At TakeOver.
Which is, oh my god. If you had told me a year ago that I would see Shinsuke Nakamura versus Austin Aries on WWE TV, I would have asked you who the hell is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea at the time. That's going to be fantastic.
And also, it wasn't official, but there feels like there's probably some number one contendership implications to that match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Austin Aries came out and talked about wanting the title. Mm-hmm. Then Nakamura came out, and I love he spoke in Japanese at first.
He's like, oh, you don't understand Japanese. I don't understand you. Yeah, me neither.
I said me too.
Oh, yeah, me too.
The whole time I'm watching Shinsuke Nakamura, I kept thinking, he is so weird.
Yeah.
In a
the heavy
way.
Breathing he did at the very beginning, where he's like out of breath from dancing his way to the ring.
His hand movements, his gestures, the way he moves his face.
When they shook hands.
Oh, yeah. He did the power up with
it. Yeah, he did the rage, like.
Everything about Shinsuke Nakamura, he just oozes charisma. Like,
you can't wait till he loses to Roman Reigns.
Stop it! What was his nickname? The king of
make Roman look strong style.
At least as long as he's in NXT, he's safe. And that will be a match that is going to blow the roof off. If you thought Sami, I think this will do better than Zayn and Nakamura. Well, I don't know, because with Zayn and Nakamura, it was the first time
that
you ever saw
magic.
Nakamura. Yeah.
And there was something magical there. Also, something we didn't ever talk about on the show, I don't think, but it came out, like, someone asked Sami Zayn about that match. And, like, so how much, you know, rehearsal or, you know, communication did you guys do beforehand? Zero. They did not touch each other once in a ring, outside of the ring. They did not plan a single thing and just had that match.
That is absolutely insane.
What?
That's impossible.
How?
Which makes you wonder, the biggest problem I have with WWE, not just with the writing, but with the in-ring stuff too, is that it's so scripted. Mm-hmm. It's so fake. I want to say, like, it's scripted to a point. Like, you could tell that it's not
organic. Choreographed stop.
The choreography is so heavy that nothing seems organic. Nothing seems like it's on the fly.
Yeah.
That match, if that's true, is absolutely insane. And one of the best reasons, in the old days, if a wrestler was good in the ring, he made his own story and would succeed. Yeah. Say what you want about the Hulk Hogans and the Macho Mans. Well, no one says it about Macho Man.
Yeah, I was going to say, no.
Let's keep it to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Hulk Hogan. But when the man was in the ring, he made magic happen. He wasn't the best wrestler, clearly.
No, yeah.
But there was something about
him. He let the other guy be really good to him.
Yeah.
And then he hulked up and won.
Well, it was a seizure of strength.
So, other NXT things that happened that are worth noting.
Nia Jax is the number one contender.
She did beat Carmella and Alexa Bliss.
Nia did beat Carmella and Alexa Bliss. I almost said Bayley Bliss. That would have been
Because William Regal did open the show by saying that Bayley was originally going to face Asuka for a rematch at TakeOver, but she was not medically cleared.
And after Nia Jax beat them, I say Nia and I picture Hunter just something,
just
a blood vessel popping
vein,
every
the
time.
The vein growing.
Yeah. Nia Jax won. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen someone come out and face Nia Jax like Asuka did. But that was so incredible to see Asuka just come out, no fear.
And honestly, her reaction to it of saying, if you stand this close to me again, I will put you down where you stand. That was a good touch.
And Nia actually looked a little scared.
Yeah.
Which, again, is something that's unusual. Never has Nia looked like she was afraid.
Yeah.
Great storytelling with Asuka. Now Asuka will probably lose.
I don't think that'll happen, but...
I don't think so either, but I'm just predicting everything that I don't want to happen in life is going to happen.
More than likely.
Go ahead.
The thing that I wanted to talk about was TMDK, The Mighty Don't Kneel.
Yeah.
Debuted tonight on NXT to face Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
They have a different name now, though, don't they?
Yeah, it's TM61, which is their the last initial or the initial of their last name, and then 61 is the area code for Australia.
It's also a Pokemon move.
It is. Someone told me what it was, and I don't remember what it.
I think it means stardom. You use stardom. If you're a Pokemon fan and you know what TM61 is,
I'm looking it up right now.
Never mind.
While
you're doing that, I will also mention that we're not entirely sure whether or not they're going to be there, or if this is just the official theme song.
I think
of
NXT. I'm pretty sure it's just the theme song.
Either way, it's very cool. A Day to Remember and Baby Metal. Which, if you heard the intro to the show, I did use their song Karate, which is apparently going to be the
that is
NXT
one of the themes of NXT. And TM61 is Will-O-Wisp.
Jeff Hardy confirmed
after he loses to Matt Hardy Moore.
Speaking of which, did you see that picture I posted of Matt Hardy today?
Yeah, which is awesome because it's like that's his gimmick now, is that this feud with his brother is driving him insane.
So where he and has so a he's gray like, streak.
Yeah, so he's like slowly devolving into just this unkempt nightmare of a man.
He looks it.
Yeah.
He looks like Hardy actually looked a couple years ago.
It looks legit. It's legit. But so TM61 debuted tonight against Gargano and Ciampa. They hit their amazing tag team finisher again. Just, I know you hate it.
Wait, Ciampa and Gargano?
Yeah, Ciampa and Gargano won.
They won?
Yeah. Because it looks like they're probably going to have like a dream match against American Alpha and or Revival if Revival win.
That's just weird that they would lose their debut match, but, you know. We'll see where they go. I have more faith in NXT building someone up after they lose than I do in WWE.
I'm curious if it's because they haven't signed a full deal yet. Or if this was
like
just
with
if
James
they did,
Storm?
Yeah, if they did like a limited one-time thing,
right?
But
or Eric Young,
yeah. Well, I think Eric Young's in there.
I hope so.
He wasn't on tonight, but
moving on because we got about 7 minutes left.
Oh God,
so about this. Real quick, couple of things. Adam Rose was released. No surprise there.
Yeah.
You knew he was.
Apparently, he asked for his release.
Asked for his release, which it's one of those things that it's almost like you could tell he saw the writing on the wall again.
Yeah,
like we said about AJ Styles. There was nothing left for him there. He was just going back
honestly,
to a world of trouble.
And honestly, that works for both people or both parties in that he can now say he wasn't fired.
Yeah.
And then they can WWE can also avoid any sort of negative PR if it turns out that, you know, the domestic dispute was a misunderstanding or he was cleared on any of those charges. Like if they fire a guy and then it turns out, oh, he didn't do anything wrong, that's going to come back look negative on them. Whereas, oh, well, he asked to be released and we granted it to him. They can keep their hands clean.
Everybody can look good.
Yeah.
If they play
as good concert. As good as possible.
That leads us into the main event that we're going to talk about. But just real quick, we had two questions. One ties into what we're going to talk about. One, I'm only answering because JR let me borrow his Superman comics. JR Davis, who was on a show a couple month ago or so, wants to know which two wrestlers would everyone on the show tonight like to see cave off, maybe square off, in a Rochambeau contest, which is apparently testicle kicking.
Yeah.
Who would I like to see square off in a testicle contest? Roman Reigns and Stephanie McMahon.
I mean, we're probably going to see it.
Oh, but it's Seth Rollins. Because if there's one person she'll never emasculate, it's Roman Reigns. Remember, she's tried before. He grabbed her hand when she tried to slap him. He got
Well, now
over
she's going to go for a kick. It's a new tactic.
It's a new day.
He'll never see it coming.
Allie, which two male wrestlers do you want to see kick each other in the testicles? You have to answer the question.
Why do I have to answer the question?
Speak directly into the mic when you say it.
I don't have an answer for this question.
Just pick two wrestlers you don't like.
Odd question. Do they still have... Well, is it Ryback still with the company?
Yeah, but assuming by the size, he probably doesn't have very many testicles there.
Oh. He doesn't have very many. Oh. Is he missing them?
I don't have an answer for this
Why
question.
Ryback?
Because I don't like Ryback. He annoys me.
Oh, go away. Asa?
Shinsuke Nakamura and Roman Reigns.
Because you know who's
and Nakamura
win.
Gets to go first. That's not true. Shinsuke Nakamura and Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon and...
Right in the grapefruits.
Vince McMahon and Jean-Claude Van Damme circa 1985. Bloodsport. Okay, moving on. The other question is from our old friend Aaron Picard. This is a legitimate question, which is going to tie into what we're going to say. I know you can do an entire show on this topic. We can. But who are some wrestlers that WWE missed the boat on? And I don't just mean near misses, but who are some of their colossal whiffs? One guy in particular we're about to talk about. But
yep.
Other than him, if you were to ask me, the easy answer is Zack Ryder.
Yep.
I truly believe Zack Ryder is one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made. Because I could say that about CM Punk. Mm-hmm. But with Punk, at least they did give him the title. They did give him some successful runs. Whether you agree with how they treated him, because I don't agree with how they treated him.
No, yeah.
But you can't argue the fact that he was, even AJ Styles, has been in the main event of the pay-per-views.
Yeah, but you know who wasn't in the main event? CM Punk.
It's true. But if CM Punk's somewhere around the fourth floor on a 10-story building, Zack Ryder's been coasting on the first floor forever. And it's terrible because there was no one over as big as Zack Ryder. When his internet show took off.
The problem was that he did that on his own.
Yeah, because they've said it before in WWE interviews. You don't want the wrestlers to try to grab the brass ring. You don't. Wait, no, they said the opposite of that.
Yeah, no, you grab the brass ring, but you have to have express written consent from Vince McMahon to grab the brass ring.
It's now written in there that once you get a hold of the brass ring, you hand it over to
you just give it to
Brooks,
Roman.
Brooks and Dunn. Dunn. What's his name?
Roman Reigns? Kevin Dunn.
Kevin Dunn. You give it to Kevin Dunn, and Kevin passes it on to Roman. I said Brooks and Dunn. That's a country artist.
Sure is.
Two of them. One's Brooks and the other's Dunn. But other than Zack Ryder, Asa, who do you think?
The first one that comes to mind other than Cody Rhodes is Wade Barrett.
Yes.
Wade Barrett should have been a multiple-time WWE champion.
Actually, you know what you could probably say? Pick any member of the League of Nations.
Yeah.
Each one of them was a colossal failure.
The only thing that you can say is that, you know, Sheamus is a three-time WWE champion, two-time?
Yeah.
Multiple-time WWE champion. Alberto Del Rio is a multiple-time World Heavyweight Champion, WWE champion. Rusev is the only one who hasn't had, you know, the main belt run yet, who absolutely could.
He rode in on a tank.
He did, and then he lost. Who did he lose to, Shannon?
So also...
Say the name. Who did Rusev lose to for the first time?
John Cena.
There you go.
Super Cena. We're going to talk about Cody Rhodes because that is the most... That is the biggest reason that we want to stop doing PWU. At least, I think. It's one of the biggest catalysts.
I feel like you're going to give me just a chance to monologue.
I am.
And that's what it's going to...
That's how we're
going to
end the show. But before we do that, very important, I can't freaking believe we forgot to mention this. SmackDown. How did we forget to mention this? If you're a wrestling fan, other than us bitching, this is literally the biggest news of the week.
Right.
SmackDown is going to start airing live on the USA Network on Tuesday, starting July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And in the press release... And now confirmed on WWE.com, they're going to do another brand split, just like they did in the, early 2000s to mid-2000s?
It's like mid-2000s.
And they're going to have different rosters for SmackDown, different rosters for Raw.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said that the first brand extension was a failure, that it was too much, there were too many storylines, there were just so many problems that plagued it, and they predict that this one's going to go as bad. I agreed with them then. I thought the first brand extension was a mistake because I didn't like to see the roster split up because I thought that limited what you could do.
Yeah.
I am now of the belief that that's a great idea because whatever show Roman's on, I'll watch the opposite show, and I won't be as angry. Of course, I have to watch both because of this goddamn thing. But.
There is a way out.
Yeah, but she won't let me shoot myself. I just got slapped. We're going to actually talk more about the brand extension on next week's show because I think more will be available about the information. All we know right now is that there will be a brand split. There will be a draft on Raw that will determine who's going to be on what roster. Remember they used to do the draft every year?
And they better do an actual draft and not the stupid draft lottery.
Yeah. Yeah. I hated that so much. In fact, I know I said we weren't going to talk about this a lot, and we won't, but I just want to share one story. Again, next week on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we're going to talk about the draft in detail, what we're afraid of, what we expect, et cetera, et cetera. One quick story about the draft. Do you remember when Jim Ross got drafted to SmackDown? This is one of the worst stories I have ever heard.
Yep.
Did not know ahead of time that he's getting drafted.
Yep.
He found out literally
on air
when they showed the picture of him on the screen. He got up, looked like his dog had just been shot, shook Jerry Lawler's hand, and walked off. One of the saddest moments in wrestling.
Because Vince McMahon is an unapologetic dickhead.
And if you don't believe that, just look up Vince McMahon. I posted it on my Facebook when he imitated JR by making fun of his cerebral palsy.
Yep.
And just has generally shit on Jim Ross forever. And if you wonder why Jim Ross never came back to WWE, I'm pretty sure it's mutual.
Yeah.
Because if I was JR, I would stay as far away from that company as possible.
Yeah.
Awful, awful story. And speaking of awful stories, I'm going to hand it over to Asa. I'll jump in at the end once he's done. But let me set it up for you real quick. Cody Rhodes asked for his release over the weekend, was granted it, and went on a spiel on Twitter about why he did it. And, just generally speaking to the fans, thanking them and that kind of stuff. It's also important to note that his wife, Brandi Rhodes, a.k.a.
Yes.
Eden Styles, is also gone from it.
Yep.
And that Goldust said he is not leaving anytime soon. And why would he when he's got that fantastic Golden Truth angle going?
I mean, and I don't fault anything. Like, I absolutely don't fault Goldust for staying.
I don't either.
I wouldn't have even faulted Eden for staying. She made a post today that I didn't get a chance to read yet, but it sounds like she had another opportunity.
And she thanked pretty much everyone in that federation except for Eva Marie.
Really?
Yeah. She mentioned every single woman in that Fed, I'm pretty sure, except Ava Marie. Or Eva Marie, I'm sorry. Completely ignored her, and I think there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
But the big story is that Cody Rhodes is gone. Cody Rhodes talked about why he left, and Asa, my very good friend, has something to say about that. Asa, I turn it over to you.
It broke my heart reading this. It really did, because I'll start this with a correction, because I don't know how many times on this show and to you guys that I've said, no, he likes being Stardust. Like, Stardust is a cool character. He just wants more to do with it. In that note, he even says, like, that I've long outgrown an outfit and face paint kit that's in my bag. That's how good Cody Rhodes is. He could make you believe that that character wasn't killing him inside because of how entertaining he was with it. He talks about how he made a career out of turning chicken shit into chicken salad. And he did. The dashing gimmick was kind of jokey, but he made it work. He turned it into the undashing gimmick, which was amazing. The mustache Cody Rhodes, like, that was his gimmick, is he had a mustache. Made it work. Somehow. Don't know how. Stardust, which was a great idea, I thought. Like, okay, you know, he wants to, especially when he went heel and he kind of was like Cody's gone, it's only Stardust now. Like, there was a lot of stuff that they could do with it.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to do anything with it.
No.
They, you know, he wasn't the guy. Cody's not the guy. Vince McMahon said every actor has a role to play. And Cody's is just a nobody to lose. Which is, he's not. He's fucking not. I'm gonna go ahead and just apologize real quick, because this is the part of the show that gets real not safe for work.
Turn it off, Dalton. Turn it off!
When Cody Rhodes pinned Seth Rollins for the first time the Shield had ever been beaten, the reaction in that arena is the launching pad of Cody Rhodes' main event star should have been.
Was this when him and Goldust beat the Shield for the tag titles?
I don't know if it was for the titles.
Dusty Rhodes came out and celebrated with
them?
Yeah,
at the end, when Dusty Rhodes came out.
One of the greatest moments in wrestling.
And this is, like, I don't have anything written down or, like, an order to go, so this is going to sound really disjointed, and I apologize for it.
They expect it.
Probably. It is unscripted. Because you bringing up Dusty just adds another layer of fuck you WWE to this. So, and like he said, like, I'm sitting on the couch, we're watching the show, and I'm reading this note that he posted, this letter, because he's like, I'm not going to do a tell-all, I'm not going to do a podcast, this is my one and only statement. And I'm reading it, and it's literally, it's breaking my heart. It's just draining all of the energy out of me.
And far too long to read the whole thing on the air.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But one of the things that really bothers me is he mentions how the McMahons and the Rhodes have never really gotten along. Look at what they gave his dad, who went around and won championships all around the country when it was the territories.
And was a hardworking man. He was a man of the people.
Yep.
He was an everyday man that could go in the ring with charisma like no one before him.
Yep.
And what'd they do when they got to WWE, when he finally signed off to Vince McMahon?
Polka dots.
Polka dots and an old black woman named Sapphire.
Yep.
Which he still made work, by the way.
Yeah, because...
because Rhodes... is amazing. The Rhodes name is a legacy.
You give the natural, Dustin Rhodes, a blonde, like, you give him the Goldust gimmick.
Which should have failed.
Especially in the 90s, when that first happened.
Yeah.
There's no reason that should have worked. But you know why it worked? Because of Dustin Rhodes. Because of the work he put into it and the talent he has as a performer. You have Cody Rhodes come in and you start him at Legacy. Like, you start him with Bob Holly.
Yeah.
When he was tagging with Bob Holly, turns on him and joins up with Ted DiBiase's son. Then goes into Legacy and then the split from there. And even in Legacy, everyone kind of said, Cody Rhodes is the dark horse. Randy Orton is, of course, an institution at this point. Ted DiBiase is going to be the guy. DiBiase leaves the company. Cody Rhodes steps up and is absolutely just, like, it takes him a little bit to find his footing. But as soon as he does, like, as soon as he gets a stride, he takes off running.
Which I want to say that when I first saw Cody Rhodes, it was at, I want to say, a Hall of Fame induction for Dusty Rhodes. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but it was some event. Cody Rhodes was there. I actually pointed out to a couple of friends of mine, that's Cody Rhodes. That's Dustin Rhodes' brother. And everyone looked at him and said, why is he so different? I thought he was so straight-laced and boring when I first saw him. I thought, man, you could tell he's so different from Dusty and Dustin. When they announced he was coming into WWE, I didn't have much faith in him. I saw him with Bob Holly. I didn't think he was that great. I saw him with Legacy. He seemed very cookie cutter to me. And I thought, well, he's really not that good. And then took off.
Yeah.
I will be a big man, admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong about Daniel Bryan. I was wrong about AJ Styles. I was wrong about Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is phenomenal.
But you were wrong about Cody Rhodes for a much shorter amount of time than you were for Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. Yeah. But it's a thing that you have both Dusty and Goldust who have, you know, poured blood, sweat, and tears into that company for WWE, for Vince McMahon. They have established that, whatever you give them, they will make work. Cody then comes in and does the same thing. I'm not saying Cody should have been handed opportunities based on his family. I'm saying that.
No, they don't do that, Roman Reigns.
When that family is 3-for-3, and you see that, oh no, here's a guy who is currently doing everything that his dad did and everything that his brother did, in the sense of, oh, we're giving him garbage, but he's shining it up and making it amazing. Then how do you not see him as someone who can carry your brand? Because not only does he name Vince McMahon and someone who told him flat out, like, I don't see you as carrying my brand, he also names Triple H in that, which really darkens my prospect of, like, NXT.
Didn't he say that Triple H had a great respect for the Rhodes family?
Triple H had a great respect for Dusty, and he worked real closely with Dusty. I'm sure they were great friends. But Triple H didn't see Cody as the guy. And so to me, it's even like, cause for a while, I kind of thought, especially after I read that and we're watching Extreme Rules and we see Roman Reigns win, I kind of thought, I don't want to watch wrestling again until Vince is dead. But then I realized it's not going to be any better because Triple H and Stephanie are going to take over and they're going to do the same thing, except maybe the people that they pick to be the focus are going to be better.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be only the people that they pick.
Yeah.
If Cody Rhodes like somehow rubbed Triple H the wrong way, then he's just not going to get an opportunity. He goes on into this letter detailing ideas that he's been pitching for 6 months to bring back Cody Rhodes to get rid of Stardust, and the head writers flat out ignored him. They lied about having their laptops being on. And it's one thing, it's either, and I don't know if it's, and really only they know, if it's because they know Vince isn't going to go for it, so they don't even care to listen to it, or they didn't come up with the idea themselves, so they don't want to hear it. Mm. Either way, that's a shitty fucking thing to do. To just completely ignore a guy who you say, you need to go out there, you need to grab that brass ring. It's up to you to make you a star. And the line that in his note that got me was about having a bag full of brass rings that he found out he wasn't able to cash in.
Yeah.
This is a guy who, it's completely emblematic. It's Wade Barrett. It's Damian Sandow. It's Cody Rhodes. Well, it's a list. It's an unending list of guys who, and I do understand this isn't just Smark whining. I do get that you can only have so many top guys at any given point, but it's so easy to pick the right ones if you just listen to your fans.
Yeah.
If you base it on more than your ego and who you pick, then yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to get a crowd to unanimously cheer Roman Reigns.
Yeah. That's what I don't get. They keep pushing this whole grab the brass ring. And they specifically said about certain people that they just couldn't connect with the audience. They couldn't grab the brass ring.
Cesaro doesn't connect.
That's a perfect example.
He doesn't connect with the audience.
What I don't get is how can they say that with a straight face, knowing and saying that you have to put in your dues, you have to do this, knowing there are people like Cody Rhodes out there, knowing mm-hmm. that the Rhodes family in general, Dusty, Goldust, and Cody, all three have been workhorses that have done everything they could possibly do. Zack Ryder, Damian Sandow, the list goes on and on. These people that have grabbed Dolph Ziggler, perfect example.
Yeah.
People that have grabbed the brass ring, and no matter how hard they work, no matter how much effort they put into it, you say that you can't just get by on a name and whatnot, but Roman Reigns, and take nothing away from him for being an athlete, he looks good.
Oh, no, yeah.
I'm sure he works hard. I'm sure he works just as hard as everybody else.
100%. I don't blame Roman Reigns,
no,
the man, at
neither
all.
Do I. No. But when you say that he has it, but a guy like Cody Rhodes or Cesaro or Zack Ryder mm-hmm. does not have it. When the fans are cheering and chanting for them and booing Roman Reigns out of the building, you have no credibility for an argument. Your argument that the brass ring they're not grabbing, it's their fault, not ours, is absolutely bullshit.
Yeah.
And you're lying to everyone's faces. The new era is the exact same as the old era. of lies and deceit.
Except now it's a different McMahon.
Yeah, with a different guy. It's no longer John Cena buries the world. Now it's Roman Reigns buries the world.
And it's not even that, like, okay, let Roman be the champion. That's fine. But they're actively sabotaging other people on the roster.
Yeah.
Now you cannot be as popular as Roman Reigns. You can't. Remember when Dolph Ziggler won Survivor Series and got the Authority fired?
That launched
his career into a, oh, no.
Well,
they pretended that that was Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns was hurt and couldn't actually wrestle that match. So just pretend that, no, that was Roman. Yeah, that was Roman. He did that.
Yeah.
And so, like, Cody said that, Cody Sandusky in the group chat, whenever the announcement for the brand split happened, he was like, wow, I want to stop, but here's a reason for me to keep going. This is not, the brand split is not a reason for me to keep going. Now you're going to have, and I know you said you're going to talk about it next week, but
yeah.
You're going to have Raw be the main show. That's where the WWE Championship is. And unless they do a thing where the champions work both shows, or then you're going to have the World Heavyweight Championship on SmackDown. The consolation prize. The thing that we give guys like Mark Henry and Dolph Ziggler and Kane.
Punk originally.
Daniel Bryan originally. These guys that, well, you don't really, like, you're not our guy, but these morons seem to think you're cool, so go play with this for a while. And then whenever we have a champion versus championship match, you can get embarrassed by our real champion.
And that's what WWE does, is they appease the fans just enough to keep you hooked. And our group chat is a prime example of all the people that are just on the hook enough when they throw them something that they keep watching, hoping it gets better, but knowing it'll never get better.
Because
it's a monopoly. No one named that is not named McMahon will ever run World Wrestling Entertainment, and that's the problem.
And it's not a coincidence that Seth Rollins and the brand split happened within 24 hours of, or within 48 hours of AJ Styles losing to Roman Reigns. They know that, okay, we're gonna lose people with Roman winning again. So let's throw them a couple reasons that will keep them interested.
Yeah.
And it's not enough. I don't care. What? I don't want to watch WWE anymore. I don't want to see these guys that I get invested with, not only as on-screen characters, but people. You got shows like Up, Up, Down, Down, where you see Tong Po play Cesaro in ping pong. And it makes me like the human behind the character. And it makes me want to see them succeed at a thing that they will never be able to, not because they don't put in the work or they don't have the talent, but because some 75-year-old fuckhead who has such a hard-on for his own ideas and is surrounded by his posse of, again, 65-year-old
yes, man,
idiots that will just tell him what he wants to hear to keep him in power because they know he's the, you know, they know where their bread is buttered, that he's the one that decides, oh, sorry, no, you know, you're really not the guy. The crowd just doesn't seem to latch onto you as people are bringing in handmade signs and passing them out. And those people are holding them up that say your name section on it.
Roman Reigns, their guy. The ratings have been down forever, and they're still down. In fact, with Roman as champion, I think two episodes ago was the lowest rated episode of 2016 completely. In what way can you possibly say that he's the guy? No offense to Roman Reigns, but what did he qualify as to be the guy? And you know what shows?
Rock's cousin.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing, Nia Jax, Usos.
I really still like Nia Jax, though.
You know what show I don't watch? Amongst many, Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
The same reason I stopped watching I never watched Game of Thrones, but the same reason I stopped watching The Walking Dead is because I see so many characters on that show that I care about die,
mm-hmm,
that I don't want to get emotionally invested in them just to see bad things happen to them all the time. And it's the same thing with wrestling. I don't want to watch wrestling for the same reasons you do, because I don't want to see people I care about that I have a legit emotional attachment to that I've never met and I never will meet, but they have touched me inside, my little heart that's dying as we speak, and I don't want to see bad things happen to them all the time. So why do I keep watching? It's because I am basically a drug addict. I have watched wrestling since I was a child, and I was so in love with what I saw as a child. The big names, the big muscles, the music, the action, the funny, everything that combined to make an impression on me as a child, that I am hooked. And even though it is the most god-awful product now that embarrasses me as a human being almost on a weekly basis, not just as a writer, not just as an entertainment personality, quote-unquote, but just as a person with common sense and logic, that I don't want to watch it anymore, but I'm hooked. They've got me. I am sucking Vince McMahon's dick as much as everyone else, and I don't want to, and I don't mean to. I can sit here and bitch about it every week, and I do, but you know where I am on Monday? At the store, watching Raw, and I don't know why. And I don't know why. And it is the most depressing thing in the world to me.
It's the Max Landis thing where when wrestling's bad, it's terrible, but when it's good, it can be so good.
It touches you. For people that say wrestling is awful, it's fake, whatever. You have your opinions. That's fine. But wrestling is, to me, what nothing else could ever be. It's outlandish. It's terrible. It's hilarious. It's great athleticism. It's everything at once. And goddamn, am I not horribly depressed now thinking about it?
You're welcome.
And that's our show. This is like Empire Strikes Back, except next week ain't Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, except there is no Return of the Jedi.
It goes from...
It's Return of the McMahon. Guess which McMahon? Fuck you. It doesn't matter which McMahon, because it's all going to be the same.
It goes from Empire Strikes Back right into Episode 3. From darkness to darkness. But we do appreciate that you guys listen. That doesn't change. I started this little show with pro wrestling, and it's never stopped that I care about every person that listens to this and takes the time to hear us complain about these things. So thank you for listening. Sorry we went so long. That's Ace's fault.
You kept wanting to talk about Raw.
Well, I'd say people listen to this show for news, but they don't.
I remember I blacked out for a minute.
And everything smelled like toast.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard what happens if you pass out around me?
No.
Don't bring this back.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a good weekend. Hey, so next week I want to talk to you about that Mr. 100 that I mentioned in the chat today. I don't know if you saw it.
I think I did, but I don't remember what
it was. It's going to be a hot topic. Next week we'll talk brand extension.
We're going to talk about Hot Topic?
Good night.